Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'm going to be the front row. You can turn your chairs backwards, right? Like The Voice. And then if you like it, you turn around. Is that how it works? We're having some spiritual warfare over here. Coffee twice has been spilled on Marissa and I's notes, so I don't know. I don't know what to expect, but we are pumped to be here. Look, on behalf of these three, I just want to honor our pastors, our campus pastors, Pastor Matt and Michaela. We love you guys from the bottom of our hearts. Pastor David and Brianna, you guys have poured so much into us. Our senior pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. There are not a lot of churches that are this generous with their pulpit or this intentional about discipleship and leadership, and they don't see you guys as just a member of a congregation. They see you as family, and that's how they treat us, and that's how they treated every single person that comes in here. So we just want to say we thank you for the generosity and for the honor of being able to share. So are you guys ready? We're going to get into it. This clock is ticking fast. I got two scriptures for you. We're going to go Matthew 14. We got that, Matthew 14. Yeah, we can, man, awesome. You guys are so amazing, thank you. This is Matthew 14, 28. So the story here is that Jesus is walking on the water, as he does. The disciples are freaking out, they're in a boat, they're panicking. And Peter calls out to Jesus, and this is where we're gonna pick up. He says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replies, tell me to come onto the water. Jesus said, come. So Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, and cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I think that's a little crude for a guy who just tried walking on water. But you'll see that Jesus has been teaching these guys for chapters a lesson that they haven't quite got. And there's a real important sequence to Jesus' teaching that I want to show you guys. But second scripture, Matthew 7, 24. And this is where Jesus is teaching them about seven chapters before that, about the power of building your house on the word of God. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. He says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, the same winds that scared Peter. The winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So the title of my little mini message is Reset Footing. We're closing out our Reset series. So Reset Footing. And what I want to ask you guys, ask us as a church, is what are you standing on? How confident, how stable, how certain, what is your assurance of your next step? Are you feeling like you're on a tightrope? Are you feeling like the next step is like me, like you just know that you know that you know that there's a stair here? What I found in my walk, which is a really Christian thing to say, in my Christian walk, is that my measure of faith is a direct proportion to how confident I feel my next step is going to be. If I'm really strong and really confident, it's easy to take that next step. But if my faith is low, it feels really scary. It feels really intimidating to walk that next step. Sometimes I'm so paralyzed, I don't take a step. And it's all in direct proportion to where my faith is. So what I want to ask us is, how is our footing? What are we standing on? Is it our circumstance, or is it the word of God? So I want to share just a personal story with you. Many of you would have, you've heard our story a little bit, and many of you helped walk us and, in fact, carry us through our story. In 2015, the beginning of the vision series, we put on our card that we were believing for a baby. Many of you might have done that in 2017, and that seemed like not that bold of a thing. We had no reason to think we were going to have an issue getting pregnant. And we didn't. To be honest, 3 months later, we found out that we were pregnant, but it was only a handful of weeks later. We went to the doctor. Rachel wasn't feeling well, and that doctor said words that you never want to hear. He said, you've miscarried. And if I'm being honest, as a man, I didn't know what that felt like for my wife, but it was pretty easy for me to snap back into a faith response. That to me seemed still confident, still assured, still like the word of God. So we said, hey, we're going to stand on the word of God. We're going to pray. We're going to believe. This will never happen again. We're going to have our miracle baby. It was like 3 months later, we got pregnant again, declaring and believing everything in our hearts that we believe that God has told us. Handful of weeks later, we found out we had our second miscarriage. That one wasn't as easy. That one started to feel like, gosh, this wind is more intense. These waves are bigger than the last. It feels darker, God, than it was last time. The circumstances are terrifying, if I'm being honest. How do I be a good husband to my wife when this is happening? A few months later, we found out we were pregnant a third time. Same declarations, same promises. And I was in New York, and I got a phone call from Rachel, and I'm all the way across the other side of the country, and she says, we have a third miscarriage. And I was devastated for a lot of reasons. I didn't know how to be a good husband to her. I couldn't meet her as her soul was breaking, being attached to our child, losing it for the third time. Our hope was defeated. This honestly felt like our boat was taking on water. There were bigger waves than we had ever seen. It was as dark of a time as we'd had in our life. We'd had three lost children. This time, I didn't know how to do anything other than to pray. We stood on this altar. I can remember countless times where we were crying with our arms raised over the Book of Miracles saying, God, what is happening? What happened to your promise? And it broke our hearts. But what I found on the other side of this, now having a daughter who just turned one named Emerson Grace, who is our miracle baby, who is the joy of our world, that God did not fail in his promises, and he did not steal children from us, and that we had an option, and thank God we had a church that taught me how to pray and how to fight. See, I had the same two options that Peter had, and there are only two options. You can either stand on your circumstances or stand on the word. You can either stand on what the waves look like, on what your finances look like, on what your friends are saying about you, on how many likes you got, or you can stand on the word of God and say, no, this is what I believe is true. See, what God says is he teaches us. He says, the word is your foundation and you will not fail. See, we were never meant to take a few steps and then drown. That is not his will for us. That is not what he taught them seven chapters before. In fact, he said, you will not fail, which leads me to believe that if Peter hadn't just looked at the waves, he could continue to walk on water. What it means to me and what is the most incredible thing, and if you could take away one thing from what I say today, is that there was a situation earlier, sequence of events. Jesus teaches about foundation. Then the disciples are on a boat with Jesus, and they are panicking. They are terrified. The boat says the waves are coming in to the boat, and they're screaming to him, don't you care about us? We're perishing. We are about to die, which is how Rachel and I felt after the third one. We felt like we were at the edge of death. But what God shows him, well, that was Matthew 8, and Matthew 14, and seven chapters later, he goes, watch this. Same storm, same situation, but if you believe and walk on what I say, the thing that you thought was gonna kill you is the thing that you will walk on top of. See, if we believe in God, the thing that is terrifying, the thing that's got you panicked, the thing that has got you shaking, all you have to do is say the word of God says this, and so I can actually walk on top of the thing that was going to kill me. What I want to end with, the one thing that I want you to take away that I think will change your year, that has changed my life, is that I am not looking for something for my faith to stand on. My faith is what I stand on. No matter what you're going through, it is not your circumstances that will dictate the certainty of your next step. It is the faith that you have walking into it. We were never meant to limp. We were never meant to fail. We were meant to walk confidently through the valleys and through the storms in Jesus' name. That's all I got for you. You got 50 seconds. We're going to bring up the powerhouse, Marissa Smith. So help her welcome up.
I may or may not have just filled that coffee again. Mike, I'm not even joking. It's kind of a puddle there. Yep. Pastor Mike, you're incredible. Like Mike was saying, we're in our reset series. And I don't know about you, but for a lot of people, or at least for me, I find that resetting is not that fun. I know it's meant to be super exciting, but I'm like, cool, let's reset. And I had this great preach actually, and I think they're going to put it up. It's called Everybody Lose Your Mind, which obviously, you know, is in honor of Joel Piper. And for those of you that do not know Joel Piper or anything that I'm talking about, really the real message title is There's More. Because, you know, if we really want to be the people that live the life that God so has for us, that what we have to do is actually kind of throw out what the world is saying, throw out what has been spoken over us as a kid, throw out what the news is saying about San Diego, throw out what economy has prophesied about what's going to happen and owning houses and all that stuff. And we have to actually abandon that stuff. And like Pastor Mike was saying, cling to the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but every year we do Vision Sunday, and it's a Sunday I really look forward to. And if you're new in our church, it's a Sunday where we write down what we want to happen for the year. And believe it or not, actually, last year, I actually didn't write one. And I'm a pastor in this church, and for me to not write one was actually kind of a big deal. And it wasn't that I didn't have, like, a laundry list of things I wanted to do. I actually was in a season or a time in my life where I was probably so discouraged and so disappointed that I actually thought it'd be better of, oh, well, maybe if I just don't write it down, and then if it doesn't happen, then I won't get, like, hurt again, and then it'll be fine, and if it happens, then great, and if not, then, like, we'll just move on, and we'll kind of just shove this under the rug and pretend that it's not there, and Vision Sunday. And that actually took me months to get through, and I don't even think I told anybody, because I just was like, oh, I'll pray for other people and their visions, but I don't want to write down my visions, because what if they don't happen? Because I'm a dream big girl. I'm a driven, gone 2 minutes ago, let's go for it. You tell me, jump, and I'm telling you, asking you how high. And so for me, I had always gone 0 to 10 in 2 seconds. Like, let's go, let's take ground, let's try new things, let's buy buildings, let's launch businesses, let's play collegiate sports, let's do all of it. But I was at a place where I actually was like a little broken, that I didn't want that. And I don't know if I'm relating to any of you. And here again, it was really like normal life things. Like, it wasn't anything wildly traumatic like the Finn family. But I just found that it was this thing that I just was like not wanting to put things up to then be let down again. And for me, I had let things that happened, facts that had happened in my life, become my truth. I had taken this disappointment, or maybe you're here and it's that doctor's report, which is a fact. The fact is your business didn't work. The fact is that marriage fell apart. The fact is maybe your kids are far from God. The fact is that the first time you tried, fill in the blank, it does not work. And I took those things and I made them my truth. But what I'm here to tell you today is that God actually spoke the truth about 2,000 years ago. And if you take out what the world says is truth and you take it as fact, what you'll find is that truth actually trumps fact. That the doctor might be saying that you are sick, but the truth is that God can heal you. That you might actually, the fact is that you might actually be broke, that your business may not have worked, but the truth is that God has a life of abundance for you. And the fact might be that relationship didn't work out, or your parents are not together, or all those things, and those things are all very real. But the truth is that God is a great restorer. And so I'm here to tell you tonight that there is more. There is so much more than we are currently living in. The reason why I know that is because there are dreams on the inside of my heart that I have yet to accomplish. There's things that I want to do. And I don't know how long you've been a part of this church, but this is a house of transformation. So when you come into an atmosphere like this, what you'll find is that there are dreams, there are things on the inside of you that maybe even you thought about when you were a little kid. And maybe in here you're much older than me, maybe some of you are much younger than me, but what I know is that there is a universal desire to be great. And not only are you meant to be great, but God wants you to be great. And I know that in the house of God, there is always more. In the Bible, there's this story of a woman, and she has an issue of blood, and she's been internally bleeding for 12 years. And it says in the Bible that she went to every physician. She exhausted all resources. She spent all of her livelihood to try to get better. And it says that she not only didn't get well, but she actually got worse. Like, that's the fact. She's sick. The fact is, there's nothing that any doctor can do for you. But the truth is, Jesus can heal you. And I'm here to tell you today, in Hebrews 13:8, it talks about how Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said it 2,000 years ago, it means it today. If he said it then he still means it today, meaning that if God can heal people then you best believe he's going to heal you today. And not only is he going to heal you today, that he's going to heal you tomorrow. And so this woman who's been sick for 12 years, she has a moment where she encounters God. She encounters the living God, Jesus Christ, and in a moment is immediately made well. And I can imagine for that woman, much like me, had a lot of disappointment. She had taken the reality, the fact that she was sick, as her truth. That she had said, this is the truth, I'm sick. But then she kind of had to abandon what people have said, what doctors have said, what her friends had said, and said, well, this is what the truth of God is. And so I don't know where you're coming from tonight, but what I do know is that 2018, that if we can abandon what's been said, or what maybe we can identify, what we've taken as a fact, and we've said, well, this is the truth. And if we can throw that out and cling to the word of God and get in the presence of God, like Pastor Juergen would said this morning, that God will actually recover all. And so God has put dreams and desires on the inside of each and every one of us. And the truth is that God intended for you to live a life full of faith, hope, love, an adventure where you're meant to take risks. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. There's still going to be disappointment. You're still maybe going to fail at that business. It might not be all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and eat butterflies and whatever else Pastor Sam wants to say. It's okay. You're like my background preacher, singer. Hype man, hype man. Hey, everyone's laughing, so I'm happy. What I'm saying is that God has a life of abundance. There's always more with God. The best is always yet to is ahead for you, and that God has a great plan. And I know it not because somebody told me that. I know it because that's what the word of God says. And so I want to encourage you tonight is to cling to the word of God. Throw out the facts. Throw out what people have said, what your parents have maybe spoken over you. What you will never, you will always, you're always going to be like that. You will never have a successful business. Your next marriage isn't going to work. You're always going to be addicted. But the truth is that God has a plan. He's going to heal you. He's going to restore you. That the best is ahead for you. And that there is always more. I want to welcome up Alex Klott.
Oh, come on. How amazing has tonight been already? Incredible. You know, you can tell God wants to do something tonight in this place. Because I don't know if they took my notes while their coffee was being spilt on them, but God is on a vein right now, and he wants to do something tonight. And I don't take being up here lightly. I really do appreciate you giving this away. Pastor Matt and Michaela, you guys have been family to us. And Pastor Juergen and Leanne starting this church absolutely changed my life, and I'm sure it has yours as well. So before we get started, I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, I thank you for this night that you have ordained. God, I thank you that in this moment, people have been brought here for a specific purpose, God. And I thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak through me to them, God, that there would be power, that there would be healing, and that tonight doesn't have to be just another night, that tonight can be the night that changed everything. We give all the glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on. You know, when I heard that that it was reset month, a couple things came to mind. I think reset personally gets a bad rap, right? I mean, sometimes you can think of, like, if you're like me, you drop your phone once a week. So that means you get to reset your phone 3 or 4 times a week, depending on how many cracks you have. I call it the Spider-Man app. It's a personal favorite of mine. Or, you know, it could be something more serious, like another broken relationship or a seemingly harmless temptation that turned into a seemingly unbreakable addiction. 3 years ago, before I came to this church and began following Jesus, I was in a dire need of a reset. I just didn't know it. And I definitely didn't know how to do it. So for the next few minutes, I want to share how God personally reset my life and how he can do the same thing for you. So the first process of resetting my life and how you can do the same is just realizing that we're broken. You know, it's like when you look up in the dictionary of reset, it says to set again or put something back in its proper place, which implies at some point, somehow, some way, we became broken. In John 10:10, it's Jesus talking. He says, "The thief or the devil does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And then he's saying, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And that's amazing. But that first part gives us some context and some understanding into how we became broken in the first place. Sure, do we make mistakes? 100%. And we have to own that. But at the same time, we have a tempter, the devil, who helps aid us in those things. So it's not all your fault, which is kind of a nice thing to know. Now, what you do with that is. So whether it's a hairline fracture or it's completely broken, nothing will heal, just like a broken bone, unless it's reset. And for me, 3 years ago, I was walking in complete and total brokenness. And some of you might be thinking, maybe we've gotten to know each other a little bit when I, you know, have come here in the last couple months with my beautiful wife. And you say, you've got a great life. You've got a beautiful wife. How could you have been that broken? And I tell you, it's only by the grace of God that you see what you see today, because it is sufficient for whatever you need. And he works all things together for good if you love him and if you give him your life. Now, since you asked, we might as well go there, right? Now, just for starters, I was raised Catholic and Jewish. If I had 10 hours and not 10 minutes, we could probably begin talking about that. But since we don't, we won't. I grew up literally going through religious motions. I was a walking blasphemy and didn't know it. I actually thought being two religions was like hip or cool. And I told my friends, and they're like, "Dude, you're a walking blasphemy, bro." I was like, "I don't know what that means, man, but you keep on, man. You keep on." So a lot of confusion, but when I was 9, I lost my dad to a heart attack, and the next year, my mom was this close to dying from the same thing. So as a lot of you may be able to imagine, or some of you can relate to, those two experiences brought some really bad things into my life, some of them being lack of identity, little to no confidence, incredible fear, anger, resentment, anxiety, rejection, just to name a few. And things were beginning to break, and the pain was very real, but instead of dealing with it, I numbed it. By the time I got to high school, it turned to looking for affirmation and acceptance from the wrong crowd. Drugs, alcohol, sleeping around, that was the rite of passage, so it just kind of made sense to follow that step. And that was just to fit in. When I went to college, everything escalated. The brokenness needed a reset, but instead I found myself looking for healing in the things that were killing me. And at 21, I took my inheritance for all that it was worth. It was to go to college. My family had saved 2 generations for it. It's almost $100,000. And I took it down to San Diego to live the high life. I'm sure you can imagine what came next. Impressively enough, I blew through all of the money within a year and a half. Best parties, alcohol, drugs. I traveled all around the world, all around the country. I even bought one of my dream luxury cars, cash. But everything that you see on TV, every Instagram post that looks like it's fulfillment, I had never been more empty. I had never been more empty. I was looking for that thing, and I wasn't finding it. It was almost 3 years ago, next month actually it'll be, at the pit of my depression, addiction, humiliation, because it's pretty embarrassing to lose $100,000 of your own money, of your family's money. Your friends know it. It's all kinds of bad. And what I found was that my friendships that I thought were built on something deeper, they began to fade as the money did. But I knew I had one friend, and I knew that God was for me because I had a friend named Luke Wilborn. Some of you know him now, who said, he went to Emerge 3 years ago. He's like, you know what? I'm going to invite the Catholic Jew to church. Let's see what happens, right? And he did. And for a month, I said no, because obviously I'm like, I will burn if I walk into a church. That's common sense. But you know what? Finally, I said, you know what? Get you off my back, Luke. I'm going to show up. I put on my Catholic clothes because how many people know if you've never been to a church like this, you're just like, yeah, you wear like it's going to mass. Like you dress up nice. And I walk in and I am blown away. I've never seen anything like it. People actually cared. People were genuine. They were full of joy. They had everything that I was looking for everywhere else. They had it in here. And that night, as Pastor John Heinrichs, who preached here last week, one of my heroes, he preached a message called Big Hero 6. And while I'd never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, something clicked. And I said, you know what? I've tried everything else. I've tried everything else. I might as well give God a chance. And I promise you, there is no greater decision that you can make. There is no greater decision. At that moment, I reset my life and I began to see all the promises, all the blessing, and all the plans that God had for my life. Which brings me to the last part of the process of allowing God to reset our lives. After we recognize we're broken and need to be healed, we need to humble ourselves just like I had to do and realize that there is no one outside of Jesus Christ who can bring you to that place of restoration, that place of healing. Because he designed your life. How could anything else give you what you need? In John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, God, if you're new to this, except through me. At the depths of my brokenness, addiction, despair, God was seeking after me, and he is seeking after you tonight. You are not here by accident. This is not just some happen to, this is purposeful. This is designed from the moment that you were created. And the devil will try and convince you and I that we don't need God. He'll say, if you only had more money, if you would only look a certain way, if you were just born the right gender, if you married the right person, you would feel whole. It's a lie. Because the Bible doesn't say, in Matthew 6:33, seek all of these things and the kingdom will be added to you. The Bible says, seek the kingdom. And all of these things, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, blessing, abundance, restoration, healing, they are yours because God is a good Father who loves you and is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Come on, somebody, all that you could ask or think. He is for you. He is for you. And if he doesn't win that way, he'll teach us that we can just put on a mask, you know, and everything will be just fine. And Jesus talks about that. And he says to the Pharisees and he says to the Sadducees, the religious people, he says, Why do you think I eat with these sinners? Why do you think I hang around the people that are broken? Because it's not the people who put on this facade, this mask like I did walking into church that need anything. You think you have it all together, then fine. I'm here to heal the people that realize they need it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Healing will only come when we realize there is only one who can complete us. Friend, don't let pain, don't let pride, and don't let preconceived notions of Jesus Christ and who he is keep you from the moment that could change everything, that will change everything. What do you need? Restored relationships, confidence, emotional healing from a traumatic event, freedom from anxiety, from fear, to be freed from the constant struggle of never having enough or never feeling good enough. There's good news, my friend. God is able to supply all of your needs according to his riches and his glory in Jesus Christ. If you would only give him a chance like I did. I can't tell you that it was easy at first. I had to give up a lot of things. I had to surrender to my lowest level to give God my entire life. But I can promise you, 3 years later, there is no better decision I could have made. There is no better decision I could have made. So right now, before we go any further, I'm going to close on this last scripture, and I want to pray for some people. In Matthew 16:25, he says, "Forever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I remember reading this scripture, and it didn't make sense to me. Whoever loses his life, if you're not, like, growing up Christian, that's, like, the most bizarre thing in the world, right? But I had some great people in my Connect group. I had some great leaders who got around me and said, if you would just trust God with everything you have, with all that you are, not just live this facade or this fake, if you would give him everything, every single area, he is faithful to restore it, to heal it, and to make it new. So I want to pray for some people who are maybe like me, who that night, I came to the altar and everything changed. It was the hardest thing for me to do. The hardest thing. But I knew that if I was going to live another year, I needed to do it. So right now, if I could have everyone bow your head and close your eyes, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for two types of people tonight. The first type, maybe you're like me. Maybe you didn't grow up Christian. Maybe all you ever heard about Christianity was, you know, that God loves you and this and that, and you have to show up at church every Sunday, and it all just seemed kind of bogus. But I'm telling you, there's power in giving up your life and losing it, because you will find it. God knew you and he made you, and he loves you and he's for you. Nothing you do could ever change that, but your decision tonight to respond to him, it could change everything, just like it did for me. This is your moment, friend. Don't let it pass you by. The devil would have you think that, oh, you'll have another chance, but that's not guaranteed. I don't know if I would have walked back into another church. I don't know if I would have walked and been out of there and made it another 6 months. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but God does, and that's why you're here. The second type of person I want to pray for is a person, maybe you did grow up with God. Maybe you were building your life, like Pastor Mike and Marissa were saying, on the Word of God, and everything was going great, and then all of a sudden, brokenness happened. And tonight, you need a reset, because you've been far away from him. I'm telling you, God has open arms, because when he sent his son 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for you and me to take our rightful place, he did it with open arms. So in a few moments, on the count of three, while everyone's eyes are closed and their head is bowed, I'm going to ask you to do something really simple. I just want you to raise your hand just like I did 3 years ago. And then I want to pray for you. One, God loves you. Two, you will never be the same. And if your heart is beating, this is your moment. Friend, do not let this pass you by. Three, hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand over there. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I see your hands up top. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand right there. I see your hand. Don't let this pass you by. God wants to restore you. He wants to do something new in your life. He is able to do it. Would you trust him tonight, friend? Would you trust him tonight? Reset your life on him. I'm going to wait another 10 seconds. And if this is for you, lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Lift your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I see your hand. Thank you, God. Come on. Incredible. That is why we do church, people. I'm so excited. Now, since there were so many of you, and to be honest, I haven't figured out how to fly around the room just yet. I don't know if that's going to happen at any point in my walk in Christianity. I hope it does. But since there were so many of you, I do want to pray with you personally, like I said. And so with that, if you could do something really brave, just like I did 3 years ago, is look to the person next to you, smile, show your teeth, and say, hey, I raised my hand, or hey, I should have raised my hand. I want to go up there and make my decision for Christ public. And if you know someone was sitting next to you that should have raised your hand, get them down here anyway. So if you could, if the church is going to stand, and we're going to celebrate all of you that come down. If you could come down, I want to meet you. Come on. Moment. And each and every one of you, I promise that nothing will ever be the same. Ever be the same. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And he will. He will. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer that would basically just invite Jesus, who we've been talking about tonight, into your life. From that point, it'll be a personal relationship with you. And he'll walk with you through it all. He will be there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So if you could repeat this after me, the church is going to do this with me as well. Father, we thank you for saving me tonight. Thank you for forgiving me and healing me. I turn away from my sin and I fix my eyes on you. Thank you for what you did on the cross. I receive your blessing, salvation, and total healing. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. And the rest of my life will be the best of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Beautiful. What's gonna happen right now? some of the best looking and the kindest people in our church right behind you. All they want to do is pray with you for a couple minutes. They want to ask you some questions in terms of helping you get connected. Maybe you're from here. I know a good church in North County, personally. If you're from somewhere else, we'll help you find one that's like this wherever you live. We want to make sure you stay connected. What they're going to do is they'll give you a book called the Bible, and they'll give you, right there, our beautiful model Kay is right there. She's got the Bible in her left hand, and on her right hand, she's got this amazing book written by our very own, the backseat preacher, Pastor Samuel Dew. No, I love him. He's amazing, and he wrote this book. It helps you with your walk with Jesus. I honestly wish he came to our church 3 years ago, because I would have had that, and that would help a lot. And then what they're also going to talk to you about is being water baptized. At our Emerge conference, we have that opportunity for the guys, and then right after that, so in March, we'll have that opportunity for you women to get baptized as well. But if you could turn to your right, my left, and walk out and follow Kay, she'll lead you guys to our room. Come on, let's applaud for them, church.
Come on, let's give it up for these rededications and first-time salvations. This is what church is all about. And I just want to say, it's so important to never forget. Never forget. I was raised in the church, you know, so I did the, like, Assumption Jesus, like, maybe when I was 4. Then, man, I think between 16 and 22, I got saved every weekend. But the one thing that's so important, never forget the why behind what we're doing. I learned this weekend, it was devastating. 100 million people have diabetes. And 84 million more are pre-diabetic. And they say a lot of the reason is just no one's leading them the right way. So there's the sad, you know, the American diet. Why did I bring that up? Because they lose their way. They emotionally eat. They just are around generational of all this kind of food stuff. I mean, see stats, but you know what I found out was they were saying all the things they can do to change their life. You know, wasn't number one was knowing who their Savior was, knowing Jesus, finding a purpose for their life, because they went through all the emotional things that are causing this. It wasn't genetics. It gave me this move fired up, like, why is every seat not full? So people look at Alex Klott. 3 years ago, train wrecking his life, blown through 100 G's. And someone brought him to Men's Emerge because they cared about him. And then he's up here preaching tonight. The guy was a mess on legs. Now he's married to a beautiful girl that slapped him around and straightened him up. But what I'm saying is, we all know somebody that needs to get lit with Jesus. Because they're getting lit with the wrong stuff. I can go off on drug addiction, depression meds. I can go tell you all the things that people are turning to. I know my friends that grew up in church because the church was dead. Jesus is alive. That's why it's important that you find your passion, you find your why. You go around pumped, jacked. I don't care what you want to call it. And if you're not, then show up for men's prayer. Show up for women's prayer. Get to Emerge. Go to Cherish. All you need is one dose of the Holy Ghost to reset you, to get rid of the scar tissue, to break off the offense that life will give us. Listen, we're not walking around sniffing glue or roses. This isn't fake. I'm bleeding this stuff because I've seen so many lives like Alex before and after, and every one of you can have the after party. You know, eternity is a lot longer than this short little window. I'm teaching my little girl. She's 5. Like, what's forever mean? It's the weirdest conversation. I have to tell her forever's like on a four-wheeler with your dad forever. She goes, that's amazing. But it's on the streets of gold in heaven. And when you fall off your four-wheeler, you won't bust your mouth up, baby. We're just healed instantly. Gold don't hurt when you hit it. Like, whatever. These are the conversations I'm having. But just know that you're all called for a destiny to unlock other people. Every day I wake up, you know what Jesus tells me? Unfulfilled destiny. Because if one day I don't wake up, I'm in heaven because I finished it all. I finished my race. So if you wake up in the morning, when you do, just know there's a purpose and a reason why you woke up. You have unfulfilled destiny and a calling on your life to unlock some people. This could go on all night, but it won't. I'm letting you go. I'm going to pray for you, and we're out of here. Society, there is an after party. 18 to 25, there's pizza port. Calorie free. I mean, I just preached on diabetes. I don't even know why I'm sending you to pizza port. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm going to pray over the pizza right now. And then next time, we're going to someone's gym. I'm going to open up the gym behind us. And after we're doing society in the gym next time, I'll get a bunch of jack people that can tell us what to eat. So I apologize, your pastor's letting you down tonight. I'm done. Okay, I'm praying right now. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, that we can have fun in church. Lord, that you've given us personalities. Lord, that you've given us wisdom, discernment, the things that are here to unlock the world that is lost. So God, I ask, Lord, that you increase our influence, increase our territory, increase our passion, increase our purpose. Lord, I ask, Lord, that every one of us are influencers. Even when we speak to just one person and they get to find out who their Savior is, Lord, we're fulfilling our destiny. Lord, I pray that you send us out. Lord, that you show us our field that we're supposed to tend, and you give us the skills to tend it. Lord, we infuse Holy Spirit power, healing, resurrection power over every man, woman, and child in this house. Lord, where we have a blind spot, unlock our blind spots. Illuminate the blind spots so we can work on it, so we can walk out of here with a fresh dose of joy and your healing power. God, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you that we celebrate you sitting by the right hand of God, fighting for us every day. So we give you honor tonight, and everybody said.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.